Welcome all of you that are visiting with us today. We're delighted to have you with us today on the first day of a new year, and we're happy to wish you a happy new year. And as we come together to worship the Lord, it's a pleasure to have visitors with us. Hi, William. I see you back there. A good friend of ours, and he's here, and other people that are visiting. We're delighted to have you with us. And we just can't start the new year out without singing, God is so good. And Freddie, we appreciate the good singing. Let's just add to that. Let's everybody stand up and sing together. Now, if you can, just stay seated. But let's sing it. I mean, let God hear us sing together, okay? Here we go. God is so good. Be seated, please. Yes, it's a wonderful day, a wonderful first day of the year, first day of the week, and we want to wish you a happy new year. We love you and appreciate you very much. Joe read to us from Philippians 3. I want to study with you this morning about a lesson. As we begin this new year, and there's some things we need to do. We need to pay attention, first of all, to the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. God's Word is so powerful, and no wonder. The Bible tells us, Paul said to Timothy, you preach the word. You be in season and out of season. You reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. Having itching ears, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Can you imagine that? And be turned into fables? 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. What a powerful thing it is to read God's Word. Not that I have already obtained all this, he says, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. And the Bible says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what's behind. And I strain toward what is ahead. And I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We need to realize that Paul is in prison. We need to realize that he's probably chained to a Roman guard. And it's under terrible conditions. And yet, despite all of that, he says, forget what's behind. And reach forward to that which is ahead. And press. Press onward toward the goal of the prize which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's easy to forget. Forget what? The most important things in life. I don't know about you, but we heard a sermon on New Year's resolution last year. And I preached one of them, and I think Jay preached another one of them. And we were determined to get before all of us the need to truly make resolutions. And this year, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, aren't you? I'm going to exercise regularly and lose some weight. I'm going to do all kinds of things to improve myself physically and spiritually, but ask me in a month, 2 months, have I forgotten my New Year's resolution? I found this. I have to share it with you. Have you heard about the man who moved into a retirement community to spend the rest of his life there? It wasn't long until he had made a number of friends among the other residents. And there was one lady he was especially attracted to, and she was attracted to him. So they spent a lot of time together. Finally, one evening he proposed, asking her to marry him. And the next morning he woke up remembering his proposal. But he couldn't remember her answer. So he went to her and he said, "I'm really embarrassed. I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no." And she said, "Oh, thank goodness I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember who asked me." When I read that, I laughed. I said, "Oh, it's so easy. Forget it. Today is the first day." In Isaiah, we're studying that in the class. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, the year of the Lord's favor." How blessed we are. How thankful we ought to be for every single blessing that God has given us. In the book of Haggai, in chapter 2, verses 3 through 7, he says, "Who are you left who saw the house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? A new temple has been made and built, nothing compared to the old. Does it not seem to you nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I coveted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty." Right now, look at that question. How does it look to you now? When we ask ourselves, how do I look? When we find that Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate?" What do we see? James says, "Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed." The man that looks into the mirror and sees himself, the woman that sees herself as she is. All right? How do you look to yourself spiritually? And then you remember Joshua. He was given instructions concerning the fact how they were to march. He says, "Yet there should be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way hither before." And we haven't. Today, we're passing through a new year. Now I want to make a suggestion that everybody can remember it easily. And that is, let's make up our mind that we're going to make a change for the better. What if someone told you you only had this year to live? If you knew you only had one more year, there were people that I preached to last January the 1st that were sitting in this audience that we love dearly, and they're gone. There may be people that are sitting in this audience this morning that are listening to me. And this year, maybe sometime in this year, you may be gone. Realizing the brevity of life. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But if we only had this year, 2017, what would we do with it? May I suggest to you, perhaps many of us would change our attitudes. We'd become positive, be grateful, and count our blessings. And the things of this world would not allure us so much. You remember John in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of eyes and the lust of the flesh, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you listening? If we just have this year, before we pass before the great Almighty, what will we do with it? You're just part of it. What will you do with yours? What will I do with mine? I'd probably be more concerned about my time. Most of us act as if we had the time in the world, all the time in the world. Ben Franklin said, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander it, for that is the stuff life is made of. I'm going to do this or that for my neighbor, but when? I'm going to make that telephone call, but when? I'm going to make these changes, but when?" Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." Found this little poem. 2 or 3 minutes, 2 or 3 hours. What do they mean in this life of ours? Not very much, but counted as time, but minutes are gold and hours sublime. If only we use them once in a while to make someone happy, to make someone smile. A minute may dry a little lad's tears. An hour sweeps aside the trouble of years. Minutes of my time may bring to an end hopelessness somewhere, and give me a friend. Counting on you. Counting on me. To use our time. Insufficient things would be just that. I wouldn't become so excited over let it get under my skin. I'd try to be more patient, understanding, kind, and loving. And all the acts and words of love that I should have done or said before, I would now try to tell them. I'd tell my wife more. Much I love her. And then I'd show her. I'd tell my children how much they mean to me. And then try to show them. I'd tell you how much I love you more because of who you are, my brother. I do my best to make everything right between us. But I just had this year. I'd want to make sure there's not a single person that could stand before God in the day of judgment and say, "Guy McDaniel did this and he hurt me and he never made correction of it." I'd want to make sure that I remember what Jesus said. "Therefore, if there thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." When will we do that? If there is trouble with someone, Get it settled. How? Go to them. Take care of it. Because if you only have 1 year left, 2017, what then? I would hold no grudge. I'd wipe my grudge board clean. I want God to forgive me, and I know that God says that He will forgive me exactly the same way that I forgive others. Listen to it, the Master speaking. In Matthew 6, verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So my forgiveness hinges upon my willingness to forgive those who sin against me. Let there not be a single one that can stand up when you're judged and say, "You never made that right with me." I'd make sure that I'm right with God. I'd look in that book. I'd study it. I would remember what James says in James 4 and verse 17. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know to do right. You know what is right. Then do it. When? Now. I would remember Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I know what the wages of sin is." As Paul said in Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, and I don't want to die separated between me and God." Troy loves to read Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Can you imagine that? You're going to meet Him and then be separated and then have to suffer the eternal consequences of eternal death, being separated from God. That, my friend, is the payment for our sins. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God." And that's what we want. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Remember when we were studying the book of Ecclesiastes in here? Solomon makes the statement in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1, "A little folly is like dead flies in the ointment. I can destroy all the good that a man might do. So whether I consider them big or small, I try to find my faults." Comparing myself with the Word of God and my purpose for 2017 would be trying to save my soul and saving as many others as I could. I'd seek to lead them to Christ. And I'd be like Paul when in Romans chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear you record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." I'm an old man, and I'm telling you, that means so much to try to convert somebody to take with you. Hollis leads Daddy's, one of Daddy's favorite songs. "You never mention him to me." How many people will stand there and we'll have to give an account to God because we had opportunity to tell them about the truth and we didn't even do it? Many men have spent their last days trying to erect great monuments so they'll not be forgotten. What are the pyramids but the tombs of kings? Today we're about, know about the pyramids, but not much about the kings. Why? Earthly memorials lose their meaning. It means something right now today, but it won't mean much 100 years from now. That's the way earthly things are. I'd want to do all that I could to lead others to Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And the question is asked, why didn't the works follow them right then? because their works were not done. How many remember Brother Fred Evans? How much good still being done by a man that loved God and sacrificed in the service of the Lord, his works accrue even now after his death. Oh, my beloved, yes, I do everything I could to show my family that I wanted them to serve the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go. But when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. I wouldn't just tell him, but I want to show him. I want to show them why it's so important. You know, at the Last Supper, Jesus now is with his apostles. They're meeting together and they're eating together. And the other apostles, they don't realize this is the last meal they're going to be with Jesus. Jesus knew that. Because tomorrow, he's going to be betrayed in the night, arrested, tried, condemned, and then early the next morning, be crucified. But Jesus wanted them to learn a lesson. Jesus knew what was going to happen in John 13. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Immediately, Peter began to protest. Wow, he was their rabbi. He was their teacher, their Lord. He shouldn't be doing the work of a servant. It was beneath him. Just a few words from Jesus silenced Peter. And then Jesus asked them a question. Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. John 13, 12 through 15. Humbleness. What you can do, be willing to do it. Yes, I'd pay close attention to my spiritual life, and I'd want to be here every single time that I could. Why don't you keep your diary this year? Why don't you write down all the times you come to worship every day? Put down when you attend and then the times you can't be here. At the end of the year, if the Lord blesses you, go back and look at it. See what God sees. You can see it that way. How many did you deliberately miss? Weren't there. Forsook the assemblies. Write it down. He knows. Don't be a fool. You know he knows. So put it in there. Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day. It's a joy. I am looking forward to tonight, to the singing, Wednesday night Bible study. And think about it. This week, we have that wonderful singing, our annual singing this Saturday night. 7 o'clock. I hope we live to see it. I hope you do too. And what a joy it would be just being together that much more. My friends, yes, we want to be said to be people who are not hot and cold, up and down, on and off, but to be steadfast as the early disciples are said to be in Acts 2, verse 42. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. Someone said this, 'tis but one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'd study this Bible more. I'd open it up and I'd read it. Surely, my friend, we will. Study to show yourself approved. And I'd pray. Not just a minute or two. When somebody asks me to pray for them and they've got a problem, I'd get on my knees or I'd go to God in prayer and I'd pray for them and call their name. They've asked me to do something for them and that's the least that I can do. praying. I just had one more year to live. How much time will I spend in prayer to God, where Paul says, pray without ceasing? The whole point is this. We do not know how long we shall live on this earth. But we do know that the end will come. And I want to suggest to you, friends, that's why we need to be ready to die. Well, we're not prepared to die, and we're not prepared to live. Life can be hard, live by the yard, someone says, but it's a cinch by the inch. Paul told the early disciples that we need to draw closer and closer to God as we draw closer and closer to one another. But isn't it wonderful this morning? 2017, January the 1st, at O'Neill Church of Christ, we're sitting here together, singing, praying, and remembering those who couldn't be here today, some because of sickness, and some because of death. Knowing that time is such an important thing. And remember what Joshua told the people, that we haven't passed this way before. 2016 is gone. We've just begun 2017. What can we do? If we need to be obedient to the gospel, that we can do. All that we've done in the past are those things that God knows, you know what you have, and I do too. Have we improved? Do we backslide? Or do we come stronger and make God and just awake out of sleep, Paul said in Romans 13, and we're going to make a change. I want to commit that to you. I hope that you'll do the same. Our New Year's resolution will bring a change for the better on the part of each one of us. Because if you're not a Christian, you can become one right now. And if you're an unfaithful child of God, you can ask God to forgive you. You can hear what God says. Yes, Happy New Year 2017. Dean E. Britton gave me this poem, and I've used it at the conclusion of my sermons in the last 5 years, I guess. It's entitled, A New Leaf. I came to my teacher with quivering lips, my task undone. Teacher, hast thou another sheet for me? I have spoiled this one. She took the old sheet, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, clean, unspotted. And into my glad face she smiled, do better this time, my child. I came to the Father with a quivering heart, the old year done. Father, hast thou another year for me? I've spoiled this one. He took the old year, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, clean, unspotted. And into my glad heart smile, do better this time, my child. And we will do better, won't we? Because we've made up our minds for 2017. We're going to make all the corrections that we have to make ourselves better in the sight of God. If you're not a Christian this morning, won't you obey the gospel of Christ? And if you're an erring child of God, repent. God loves you so much. He loves me. He loves all of us. And I just thank God that for these last, I don't know how many years completely, all we've been together. We've shared together. We've loved each other. We've cried together. We've laughed together. But time is going by. You know it and I know it. We need to be ready to pass into eternity, meeting face to face with our God. Are you ready to meet Him today? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is pleading. Won't you come to Him and obey Him while together we stand?